Welcome to the OME Talks podcast. I'm your host, David Petro. Normally, this podcast features voices from the most recent OME conference, but on this episode, we'll hear from speakers from our upcoming OME 2026 conference at Fanshawe College this spring. Today, we're going to hear from Ron Lancaster, who'll be telling us about the math walk he will be taking us on. But first, running in tandem with the face-to-face conference is a virtual conference, and the keynote, who will only be seen at the virtual conference, is Howie Waugh. So let's hear from Howie right now. Okay, so I'm speaking with Howie Waugh. Howie, how are you doing?
I am great, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Howie, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you connect yourself to math.
Yes, my name is Howie Waugh. I teach math to future elementary school teachers at Fresno State. This is my 10th year doing that. I connect myself to math. Let's see. I started as a biology major because I wanted to be a doctor. And I realized, you know what, maybe that's not the route for me. And at the same time, I wanted to take Calculus 2 for fun. In high school, I thought that Calc 1 was like the pinnacle of math. So I was like, there has to be more math than this. So wanting to take Calculus 2 as an elective and not wanting to be a biology teacher anymore, I decided to be a math major to become a math teacher. And yeah, I wanted to be a math teacher to help California's Central Valley. Starting in 2020, I think late 2020, I started making videos online because I just wanted to make math more accessible. People are already on TikTok, already on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So I figured to just make math videos to help people understand math. It's not just about memorization. It's about understanding. So yeah, that is my relationship with math. I teach math to future elementary school teachers, and I make math videos and math memes.
Okay, and you are our keynote speaker for our OME 2026 virtual conference. I wonder if you could tell us about your keynote address.
Yes, the title is called Love Math, Love People. So if I were to give a mission statement for math teachers in just four words, it would just be that, love math, love people. So this session is broken into two parts. The first part is, how do we love math? So I talk about some cool things in math, like how can math be surprising, or how can math be fun, or how can math just be interesting? David, you already saw my video, I'm pretty sure, of, do you remember in a 3-4-5 right triangle, the only circle that fits in there perfectly has a radius of one. So it means that it has an area of pi.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? Like, so I talk about how math doesn't have to be useful to us, right? We always hear, like, when am I ever going to use this? And sometimes you're not going to use it. Sometimes math can just be beautiful for its own sake. Think about math as an art. So I talk about just how can we love math? And the second part is love people. I think that half of my job is just building mathematical confidence. That's a huge part of teaching math. It's not just teaching the standards. So I talk about how do we build that mathematical confidence for students? For example, how can we have students learn from mistakes and build from it? And also, what does it actually mean to be good at math?
So if we could sort of break that apart a bit, the love math part, how do you find the proportion to, you know, parts of math that you really can find that beauty and the love in really easily? Like that, you know, that 3-4-5 relationship is pretty amazing versus like the drudgery of some of the other stuff that we have to do in math that is also very important.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, it's not like I totally understand what you mean, but it's just the structure and the reliability of math that we love. I always, on day one, I tell my students math is a study of patterns, right? So if you don't have a good relationship with math, or if you feel like you are weaker in math than you want, I just tell them math is a study of patterns. So focus on the pattern. So even if it's something like, I don't know, completing the square, right? Completing the square by drawing algebra tiles. That can still be fun. I remember doing office hours with a student, and once the student gets it, he was like, wow, this is actually really fun. And I'm like, in my head, like out, like verbally, I was like, yeah, it is fun. But in my head, I'm like, really? Like I don't know if this would be in my top 20, completing the square. So even if the topic isn't the most like exciting thing, it's about building the confidence that they can do it and they can check their work and that they can visualize the math.
It's interesting that you bring up the completing the square, because I taught completing the square for many years before I actually knew that it was physically completing a square.
Mm-hmm. And same thing with like difference of two squares. I didn't realize that difference of two squares literally means what's the difference between the two squares.
Yeah. And so, you're right. I mean, finding those little bits in there are truly important. And then I guess that then does connect to, you know, helping students connect with their inner math, no matter how big or small that is. When you are working with your pre-service teachers, I imagine you encounter many who don't necessarily have that love of math that you have. How do you bring that forward?
Yeah, I teach math to future elementary school teachers, and a lot of them say that, like, you know, I just love kids, right? I don't really hear a lot of, like, I want to teach kindergarten to sixth grade because I love kindergarten to sixth grade math. A lot of it is I love kids, right? Yeah, a lot of it is just visualizing the math. So I tell them, like, do you do the CRA model, the concrete representational abstract?
I think I've seen that in places. I don't know how formally we use that.
Yeah. Some people say CRA, some people say CPA for concrete pictorial abstract. I just go through that process for basically everything, if applicable. It's concrete, things you can physically touch or manipulate, representational, things you can draw, and then abstract. A lot of us, when you think about like maybe a typical classroom 20 years ago, it was just going straight to abstract. You know, it's like, here's the formula, here's the procedure, just copy me or whatever. But it really is a process, right? So like, for example, if we're adding fractions, maybe start with fraction tiles so they can see what 1/2 plus 1/3 is. We need a common unit. We need a common denominator. And then they draw it on the number line. That's the representational. And then we connect it to the abstract. So whenever I'm teaching my students, I think about what is the mathematical foundation that I am building for my students? Because if it's just formulas and procedures, that's not as strong of a foundation as if we connect it to concrete, then representational, then abstract. And I really find that helps build their confidence. I had a student take, in California, they have to take something called the CBEST to be a teacher, or at least to be a substitute teacher. And my student emailed me, I think a semester or two after she took my class, she was like, I scored highest in math, and I don't think that would have happened if I didn't take your class. And she had to laugh because on her scratch paper, she just drew a lot of things, right? So she's like, I drew more than I actually wrote numbers down. So I learned that from your class, that math is totally a visual subject.
Okay, so Howie, we really appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you virtually at the OME 2026 virtual conference this year as our keynote. So thanks for talking to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Howie Waugh, who will be doing the keynote for the virtual conference on Thursday, and we'll have a breakout session as well. Also on Thursday, for the face-to-face conference, will be a special session called a Math Walk. To tell us about that is Ron Lancaster, who has been doing math walks for years. All right, so I'm talking with Ron Lancaster. Ron, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I'm just thrilled to be able to chat with you. It's about a year since I've seen you.
It's been a while. I think the last time we went and saw a movie together.
We did at the Windsor International Film Festival, a movie called Eno.
Yeah, good times. Ron, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you connect yourself to math.
Absolutely. You know, I was a classroom teacher, high school, middle school, for about 21 years, mostly in the Oakville area, although I started my career here in Hamilton where I live. And for 17 years, I was an associate professor at the University of Toronto at OISE. And I had the pleasure of working with the next generation of teachers. And it was a job that I absolutely loved. Retired from there about 3 years ago. But I've been fortunate that throughout my career, I've worked with teachers and students around the world. And you know, I'm hoping that in retirement to continue to do that. And so far, that's what I've been up to. And I'm absolutely in love with math. It's been part of my life forever and can't imagine a day going by where I don't do mathematics.
Okay. And Ron, you are going to be one of our speakers at OME 2026, although I don't know if I qualify you as a speaker. You are doing a math walk. Now, you have spoken at OME for years and years, decades, literally. And you have done math walks before, and I'm a little embarrassed to say that I've actually never been on a math walk, despite talking with you many times about them. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what a math walk is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you're right about OME. I think that this year will be my 42nd OME conference as a speaker. Yeah, the organization is really important to me. I really value the conferences and the publication, the Ontario Math Gazette. So it's really important for me. I reached 40 and I decided to take a break and then start a new streak. So I missed a year and then I'm now on number two. So I know that sounds odd. I have done actually workshops for teachers and students on math walks kind of in a lot of different places around the world. But one of the first places was actually at an OME conference. And I'll maybe tell you a little bit more about that after I tell you a bit about what a math walk is. So how to describe this? So look, just imagine a student's going out on a walk. They're out there to make measurements. They're collecting data. They're observing how things change. They're noticing the little things that we often overlook. I want you to picture them answering mathematical questions related to what they encounter, as well as posing their own questions, you know, based on things that catch their eye, sparks their curiosity. That's what a math walk is all about. It's learning, you know, it's learning to slow down, to be curious, develop a mathematical eye, to find and photograph where math lives. And it really doesn't matter where you're at. This could be on the campus of a school, it could be at a park, on a farm, in a shopping mall, could be in a museum, could be in a church, it just could be anywhere. The thing that you really need is an imagination, you know, imagine that. So that's what a math walk is all about.
Okay, so you've hinted a little bit about your first math walk. Maybe you could give us a little idea what that was like.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I started developing these actually way back in the early 1990s at a conference in New Hampshire at Phillips Exeter Academy. And I was working on them with a great teacher named Vince DeLisi, who's now retired. And then I eventually got hired at St. Mildred's Lightbourne, a school in Oakville. And I started to develop math walks for students there. And I would take the students into Toronto for the day. And we would do mathematics in the streets of the city, in the Eden Center, in the Financial District, at Union Station. And within about a year of doing that, I spoke at an OME conference about math walks, and I brought my grade 7 class with me. My calculus students were also involved as mentors. A few of my calculus students came, but my grade 7s co-presented the session with me. And it was actually an amazing experience because we had a massive crowd show up for the session. My students and I had arranged that we would divide everybody up and then go outside. We actually did a walk outside. I think the conference was at the Sheraton Center. It was actually fairly close to where we'd done our walk. One of the memories I have that is my grade sevens, once we were kind of all set up inside the room, they told me to go sit down, that they were taking over. And they took complete charge of the session. And it was wonderful. I mean, I was always telling them to have a voice and take control, and that's what they did. They were the ones that divided up the teachers and got them into groups and took them outside, and it was wonderful. I did another OME conference that was held up in Scarborough at, forgotten the hotel name, but it was with students from Bishop Strachan. And that by then, that was kind of in the late 1990s, and I was doing a bit of consultant work at that school. And a group of students, they were senior students in this case, they came with me to the hotel several times and we developed a math walk together. And then when the conference ran, we came back and did, you know, the students led teachers in a walk. And then I've done some other sessions at OAME conferences on math walks as well.
So it sounds like you, there's a certain amount of planning that goes into that. You're not just sort of like, let's go walk out and inside and see what we can see. Or is there some of that and some planning? You know, how do you develop a math walk?
Well, that's a great question, David. I mean, in this case, I just have the absolute pleasure. I'm doing this session with three other people. I'm going to have Paul Alves there. So excited to be working with him. First time I've done a workshop with him. I'm also going to have Kevin Spry. Kevin Spry, I've never done a workshop with him, although I've had a massive amount of contact with Kevin because he headed up the Teachers Teaching with Technology program that Texas Instruments runs. Kevin coordinated a lot of things that I've done with T-Cubed. So I'm going to be working with Kevin, and I'm also going to be working with Carly Zanuck. And Carly and I go way, way back. Carly was actually on my first math trail that I did. And she and I have presented math trail workshops in different places in the U.S. and in Canada. So those three individuals, they are fantastic teachers. The four of us are going to be doing this. And you're correct, we're going to have to go visit London ahead of time. So we're going to travel down about a month before, and we're going to scout out the area. At this point in time, I'm not quite sure where we're going to do it, but it's going to have to be somewhere close to where the conference is being held, because our session, we're going to be doing it twice, but our session is, I don't know, it's an hour and 15 minutes, I think. So we're going to go down and plan everything out. And then, you know, during the month before the conference, we'll divvy up the work and type everything up, and we'll have a handout for the teachers. And so we'll be able to actually take them out of the room and go do it. But these things do take some planning to do them. I'm lucky that I've worked on dozens and dozens of math walks all over the place. And I tend to be able to, I can just show up someplace and I can spot things. I've really developed a mathematical eye for finding mathematics and thinking of questions that students and teachers can work on. So I can do them fairly quickly. Next month, I'm in Suzhou, China, near the end of the month. And this will be about the fourth or fifth time that I've been there. And I'll have about 2 days to plan a math walk for about 400 students. And I probably will not sleep one of the nights. It's going to be at a museum that hasn't even opened yet. It's the new Museum of Contemporary Art. Last year I was there and I did it at another museum. Never been there either. And so as soon as I arrived and got off the plane, I was over in the museum, you know, working and stuff, and then typing everything up. And it's a little bit tricky work. It's often done under duress, you know, trying to get things done. I mean, sometimes I'm lucky that I'm there like 4 days ahead of time and I have the luxury of having a lot of time, but, you know, oftentimes they're done, you know, fairly quickly. And, you know, I just kind of do the best I can. And I try and get some local people involved to help me as well, you know, with them. But the math trail at the OAME conference this year is just, it's going to be a wonderful experience working with these three people. And I'm really excited.
Okay. So we look forward to your math talk. I think this year, this is the time I'm going to sign up. I'm going to be on the math walk this year. And, you know, I hope to get some insight as to how to create my own math walk so that I can bring something back to my own people back here in Windsor.
Well, David, that's really what we want to do. I mean, and that's what I always want to do is empower teachers to be able to do this themselves. Give them a spark so that they can do this on the campus of their school, you know, and have some fun doing it with their students.
Okay, so we look forward to seeing and hearing you in the spring here at OME 2026. Thanks for talking to us today, Ron.
Thank you, David.
That was Ron Lancaster giving us a brief description of where the math walk is. He'll be doing two math walks on Thursday, the first day of the conference, and we'll be doing that with Paul Alves, Kevin Spry, and Carly Zinyuk. Also running each session on both days will be our technology playroom, where you can play around with the many different technologies designed to help you and your math students. Running both days will be the exhibitors area, where there will be more than 30 vendors. And new this year is our Indigenous space, which will be a tribute to Indigenous stories, ways of being, and beliefs. And don't miss out on Thursday's wine and cheese following the last session, as well as our other social events. Keep checking the OIME2026.ca website for more info on those. The OIME 2026 conference runs April 30th and May 1st at Fanshawe College in London. The theme is Let's Talk Math, and we'll have 190 sessions with keynotes and feature speakers on each day. Other features include the Technology Playroom, Indigenous Circle, Math Walk, Wine and Cheese, and more. There will also be a separate virtual conference that features its own keynote, live streaming of the face-to-face conference featured speakers, as well as many pre-recorded sessions. You can register for the virtual conference on its own, but it's also included with the registration for the face-to-face conference. Full registration is open now, with registration for the virtual conference opening in March. You can get more info at oime2026.ca and register at our MCAS registration site. Both links can be found in the podcast description. That's all for this episode. On tomorrow's preview, we will hear from Friday's keynote and featured speakers, so stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, stay safe.